Hello and welcome to episode 858 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Tuesday prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain a good death. O Mary, how shall I die? Even now that I think of my sins and of that decisive moment on which my salvation or eternal damnation depends, of that moment in which I must expire and be judged, I tremble and am confounded. O my most sweet mother, my hopes are in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thy intercession. O comfortress of the afflicted, do not then abandon me. Cease not to console me in that moment of so great affliction. If I am now so tormented by remorse for sins committed, the uncertainty of pardon, the danger of relapse, and the rigor of divine justice, what will become of me then? Unless thou helpest me, I shall be lost. Ah, my lady, before death obtain me great sorrow for my sins, thorough amendment and fidelity to God during the remainder of my life. And when my last moment arrives, O Mary, my hope, help me in the great distress in which I shall then be. Encourage me that I may not despair at the sight of my sins, which the devil will place before me. Obtain that I may then invoke thee more frequently, so that I may expire with thy most sweet name and that of thy beloved Son on my lips. Nay more, my lady, but forgive my boldness. Before I expire, do thou come thyself and comfort me with thy presence. Thou hast granted this favor to so many of thy devout servants. I also desire and hope it. I am a sinner, it is true. I do not deserve so great a favor, but I am thy servant, love thee, and have full confidence in thee. O Mary, I shall expect thee. Do not disappoint me of this consolation. At least, if I am not worthy of so great a favor, do thou help me from heaven, that I may leave this life loving God and thee, to love thee eternally. Amen. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. We return, friends, to the Fatima Crusader, issue 132, the spring 2024 edition. This had to do with the fake Sister Lucia hypothesis. And as we've seen, and I think the Fatima Center demonstrates amply, there was a fake Sister Lucia, an imposter that was put into place by the Vatican in 1967. And thereafter, the photographic evidence, the testimony from various experts in regards to facial recognition, dentistry, orthodontics, things of that nature, proves beyond all shadow of a doubt that a fake Sister Lucy indeed came into play on at least a few limited occasions, public appearances in 1967 with Paul VI, also with John Paul II. But what they've stated, the folks at the Fatima Center, and something that I would agree with, is that this shouldn't dissuade us from keeping the main thing, as it were. And once again, I want to mention what we can do, and that's the five elements of the first Saturday devotion. Number one, making a good confession within 8 days before or after the first Saturday. Number two, receiving Holy Communion. Three, praying five decades of the Holy Rosary. Four, keeping Our Lady company for 15 additional minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. And five, offering each of the above acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I would also advise you to sign up, as I have, at the Fatima Center for the First Saturday Challenge. And they say, help us present Our Lady with a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request of this devotion, which is December 10, 2025. To join the challenge, please visit www.fatima.org/100by100. That's www.fatima.org/100by100. We have no control over what any particular pope, bishop, or priest does, but we have 100% control under over what we do. We can choose to live a virtuous life, or we can choose to live a vicious life. That's completely up to us. We're not robots. God blessed us with free will. We can choose to do what's good and avoid what's evil at all times, no matter what's happening in the world around us. And the world around us is completely on fire. Men pretending to be women, women pretending to be men, all this other nonsense. That didn't happen overnight, of course. It's happened over a period of decades and really over a period of centuries. You can date it back to the Reformation, which was really the Protestant Revolution, or any number of other events if you'd like to. But we are where we are in this point in history. You're alive at this point in history for a reason. Like Dr. Jones says, God has a plan for your life right now. And you can make that decision to take up your cross and follow our Lord every single day. Or you can make the decision to give in to the temptations that the world is offering you. And as we've seen, especially since March of 2020, what the world is offering is madness. Cardinal Seurat wrote that book, God or Nothing, and we're seeing very clearly in our society that we either choose God or the alternative is lunacy. Let's take a look at this interview. It's entitled A Prophetic Interview with Sister Lucia dos Santos of Fatima. And this relates 100% to what we're talking about in terms of the Five First Saturdays devotion, the consecration of Russia to the Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart, and also the prohibitions, unfortunately, that Sister Lucy was under after 1959. Introduction. This interview was given by Sister Lucia on December 26, 1957, to Father Augustin Fuentes, a Mexican priest assigned as postulator for the cause of beatification of Jacinta and Francisco. It is the final public interview we have from Sister Lucia before she came under a draconian order from the Vatican prohibiting her to speak on matters related to Fatima or to receive visitors without express papal permission. It is reasonable to believe that in this interview, Sister Lucia said as much as she possibly could about the third secret, albeit obliquely, without violating Our Lady's stipulation that the third secret was not to be revealed to the world until 1960, for it would be clearer then. And as we've seen, the third secret in its totality was never revealed. And we have to be obedient to what our Lord wants and what Our Lady wants. The third secret was supposed to be revealed in 1960. That didn't happen. This interview is extremely important, especially today. With the benefit of looking back over the past 65 years to the time of this interview, we see just how accurate Sister Lucia was regarding the defections and betrayals of so many priests and religious. This plea by Sister Lucia is for us today even more timely than when she gave it in 1957. We should read and reread this message as it contains many valuable insights. Treasure and ponder this important message. They are the final public words we have from Our Lady's chosen apostle of her Immaculate Heart. Background information. When Father Fuentes first published this interview, it was given full ecclesiastical approval and drew widespread interest. However, through the ruthless maneuvers of those intent on bearing the message of Fatima, Father Fuentes was subsequently thoroughly vilified. On July 2, 1959, a certain anonymous official in the Diocese of Coimbra, where Sister Lucia resided in the Carmelite Monastery, released a statement to the world press denouncing Father Fuentes as a brazen liar, claiming the interview to be entirely of his own invention. He was removed from his position as postulator for the causes of Jacinta and Francisco and was publicly regarded as utterly disgraced. Defense of Father Fuentes. In Mexico, the Archbishop of Veracruz, His Grace Manuel Pio López, promptly came to the defense of Father Fuentes. Cardinal José Garibi y Rivera, the Archbishop of Guadalajara, also publicly defended Father Fuentes against the unjustified attack of unnamed diocesan officials. the author or authors of this grossly misleading statement of the Curia of Coimbra never had the courage to identify himself. Father Joaquin Alonso, the official archivist of Fatima from 1966 to 1981, first adopted the, quote, official position of the Curia of Coimbra. However, after studying the matter in depth, he too came to the defense of Father Fuentes by 1976. He then said, the authentic text, which in justice is the only one attributable to Father Fuentes, in my opinion, contains nothing which gave rise to the condemnatory note of Coimbra. Much to the contrary, it reinforces a doctrine which is very apt to piously edify the Christian people. Father Alonso had ample opportunity to speak to Sister Lucia from 1971 to 1976, so as to come to a more accurate understanding of this affair. By 1976, he knew that neither Father Fuentes nor Sister Lucia had misled the world by the statement of 1957, which we publish on the following pages. The report by Father Fuentes. I wish only to tell you about the last conversation which I had with Sister Lucia on the 26th of December last year. I met her in her convent. She was very sad, very pale, and emaciated. She said to me, Father, the Most Holy Virgin is very sad because no one has paid any attention to her message, neither the good nor the bad. The good continue on their way, but without giving any importance to her message. The bad, not seeing the punishment of God actually falling upon them, continue their life of sin without even caring about the message. But believe me, Father, God will chastise the world, and this will be a terrible punishment. Excuse me, and this will be in a terrible manner. The punishment from heaven is imminent. Friends, this also reminds me of when our Lord appeared as a boy to Sister Lucy and was really chiding her for not doing enough to spread the Fatima message. It's not like she was sitting on her hands and doing nothing, but he wants us to make reparation to the Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart, and he wants us to tell other people about it. Who's a better son than our Lord Jesus Christ? Who keeps the commandments better? Well, absolutely no one, of course, and the fourth commandment is to honor thy father and thy mother. He wants us to love Our Lady more. He wants us to pray the rosary every single day. He wants us to do the five first Saturdays devotion. This isn't something that the Blessed Mother came up with out of nowhere. Okay, this is really what our Lord wants. He wants the Blessed Mother to be honored. And that's the whole purpose of the five first Saturdays devotions. Father Fuentes continued with this interview, and Sister Lucy said, Father, how much time is there before 1960 arrives? And at this time, it was only a couple years away. It will be very sad for everyone. Not one person will rejoice at all if beforehand the world does not pray and do penance. I'm not able to give any other details because it is still a secret. According to the will of the Most Holy Virgin, only the Holy Father and the Bishop of Fatima are permitted to know the secret. But they have chosen to not know it so that they would not be influenced. This is the third part of the message of Our Lady, which will remain secret until 1960. Tell them, Father, that many times the Most Holy Virgin told my cousins, Francisco and Jacinta, as well as myself, that many nations will disappear from the face of the earth. She said that Russia will be the chosen instrument of chastisement chosen by heaven to punish the whole world if we do not beforehand obtain the conversion of that poor nation. And if I can also jump in here for a second, when Sister Lucy talked to William Thomas Walsh, she said if the conversion doesn't happen properly and in time, the whole world will become communist, every nation on earth. Hasn't that really happened? Think of what happened starting in 2020. You have to wear a mask to go to public places. You have to take an experimental and immoral gene therapy to go to wherever, fill in the blank. Hospitals, sporting events, your job. Is that not a radical communist society? Is that not what happened on every nation on earth? This is the prophecy of Fatima coming to fruition. No one lives in a free country anymore. Sister Lucia also told me, Father, the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin, and the devil knows that it is that most offends God, and which in a short space of time will gain for him the greatest number of souls. Thus, the devil does everything to overcome souls consecrated to God, because in this way, the devil will succeed in leaving the souls of the faithful abandoned by their leaders, and thereby the more easily will he seize them. That which afflicts the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the heart of Jesus is the fall of religious and priestly souls. The devil knows that religious and priests who fall away from their beautiful vocations drag numerous souls to hell. The devil wishes to take possession of consecrated souls. He tries to corrupt them in order to lull to sleep the souls of lay people and thereby lead them to final impenitence. He employs all tricks, even going so far as to suggest the delay of entrance into religious life. Resulting from this is the sterility of the interior life, and among the lay people, coldness, lack of enthusiasm regarding the subject of renouncing pleasures and the total dedication of themselves to God. And hasn't the horrific state of the priesthood become manifest since the 1960s? So many problems. I need not list them here. I'm sure you know what they are. This came to fruition as well. Again, speaking with the prophetic voice. Tell them also, Father, that my cousins, Francisco and Jacinta, sacrificed themselves because in all the apparitions of the Most Holy Virgin, they always saw her very sad. She never smiled at us. This sadness, this anguish, which we noted in her, penetrated our souls. The sadness is caused by the offenses against God and the punishment which menace sinners. And so we children did not know what to think except to invent various means of praying and making sacrifices. The other thing which sanctified these children was to see the vision of hell. And they were 11 and under at the time, and the Blessed Mother saw fit to show children a vision of hell. That's why we have to talk about the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. We need to have a salutary fear of hell. And yes, even tell children about it, because the Mother of God saw fit to do it. We must as well. Life is not a game. Life is very serious. And the decisions that we make in this life have eternal consequences. Sister Lucy continued by saying, Father, that is why my mission is not to indicate to the world the material punishments which are certain to come to the world. If it does not pray and do penance beforehand, no, my mission is to indicate to everyone the imminent danger we are in of losing our souls for all eternity if we remain obstinate in sin. In other words, obviously war is bad, and losing material things, going bankrupt or whatever, that's tremendously difficult. But even more difficult is a whole country, a whole continent, or a whole society losing the faith. Sister Lucia also said to me, Father, we should not wait for an appeal to the world to come from Rome on the part of the Holy Father to do penance, nor should we wait for the call to penance to come from our bishops and our dioceses, nor from the religious congregations. No, our Lord has already very often used these means, and the world has not paid attention. That is why now it is necessary for each one of us to begin to reform himself spiritually. Each person must not only save his own soul, but also all the souls that God has placed on our path. The devil does all in his power to distract us and to take away from us the love of prayer, the love for prayer. We shall be saved together or we shall be damned together. And Sister Lucy is saying this in the late 1950s. We might listen to this and think, well, it's kind of Leave It to Beaver times. But no, even then, you know, modernism had crept into the church, and it was about to have its big coming out party, so to speak, at Vatican II, and then altering the liturgy, changing over basically everywhere in the world from the traditional Latin Mass to the Novus Ordo in 1969 and 1970, the full flourishing of the evil, bitter fruits of modernism. Sister continued by saying, Father, the Most Holy Virgin did not tell me that we are in the last times of the world, but she made me understand this for three reasons. The first reason is because she told me that the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Virgin. And a decisive battle is the final battle where one side will be victorious and the other side will suffer defeat. Also, from now on, we must choose sides. Either we are for God or we are for the devil. There is no other possibility. Again, Cardinal Seurat's book, God or nothing. I go back to that. She also said, the second reason is because she said to my cousins as well as to myself that God is giving two last remedies to the world. These are the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These are the last two remedies which signify that there will be no others. So it's the Holy Rosary, friends, and it's devotion to the Immaculate Heart. That's it. The third reason is because in the plans of divine providence, God always, before he is about to chastise the world, exhausts all other remedies. Now, when he sees that the world pays no attention whatsoever, then, as we say in our imperfect manner of speaking, he offers us with certain fear the last means of salvation, his most holy mother. It is with certain fear, because if you despise and repulse this ultimate means, we will not have any more forgiveness from heaven, because we will have committed a sin which the gospel calls the sin against the Holy Ghost. The sin consists of openly rejecting with full knowledge and consent the salvation which he offers. Let us remember that Jesus Christ is a very good son and that he does not permit that we offend and despise his most holy mother. We have recorded through many centuries of church history the obvious testimony, which demonstrates by the terrible chastisements which have befallen those who have attacked the honor of his most holy mother, how our Lord Jesus Christ has always defended the honor of his mother. To reiterate, of course, our Lord will not let Our Lady be mocked, and there will be a tremendous punishment for mocking Our Lady. Sister Lucia told me, the two means to save the world are prayer and sacrifice. Regarding the Holy Rosary, Sister Lucy said, look, Father, the Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the Holy Rosary. She has given this efficacy to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, of the families of the world, or of the religious communities, or even of the life of peoples and nations that cannot be solved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. With the Holy Rosary, we will save ourselves. We will sanctify ourselves. We will console our Lord and obtain the salvation of many souls. Well, I can certainly vouch for the Blessed Mother's intercession in my life, in the life of my family and friends who pray the rosary. If you are committed to praying the rosary every day, you will see nearly miraculous, maybe even miraculous events take place in your life. Finally, devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, our Most Holy Mother, consists in considering her as the seat of mercy, of goodness, and of pardon, and as the certain door by which we are to enter heaven. We go to Jesus, my friends, and we go through Mary. She magnifies everything we do. She makes everything we do greater because of who she is. She is the Immaculata. She is God's masterpiece. She is perfect. Let us love the Blessed Mother with all of our heart, mind, and strength. I'm going to conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, first and foremost, her hard work and the hard work of her family, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who can compose music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. Without RPM, we wouldn't have known any of that. It has been as massive a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for non-speakers as sign language was. For the deaf, you can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this message far and wide. Communication is a human right. Can you put yourself in the shoes for a moment of a non-speaker and imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you had all the talents and the gifts that my niece has and you were unable to share them? No one should have to live that way. How many thousands of people are living like this? We need to help them. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.